Chapter 56, the last chapter.
"How nice to see you again," said Katie, standing in the open front door. "Please come in. Ian is out on the porch reading his morning newspaper."
"We can't stay long," said Julia, as she passed into the entryway. "Dirk and I have to be on a plane back to Washington by noon."
Pitt followed the two women into the house. He carried a small wooden box under one arm. They passed into the kitchen and out onto the porch overlooking the lake. There was a brisk breeze and a good chop on the waves. A sailboat was running with the wind about a mile offshore. Gallagher rose to his feet, his newspaper in one hand.
"Dirk, Julia, thank you for stopping by," he boomed.
"Let me bring you some tea," said Katie.
Pitt would have preferred coffee this early in the morning, but he simply smiled and said, "I'd love some."
"I hope you've come to tell us about the salvage project," said Gallagher.
Pitt nodded. "The very purpose of our visit." Gallagher motioned for them to sit around a picnic table set up on the porch.
"Take a load off your feet."
As they gathered around the table, Pitt placed the box at his feet. After Katie returned with a pot of tea, Pitt and Julia talked about the salvage project and described some of the art treasures they had actually seen because of broken packing crates. Their only omission was any reference to Chin Chang, whom Ian and Katie were not aware of anyway. Pitt told of Giordino's discovery of the bones of Peking Man.
"Peking Man," Katie repeated slowly. "The Chinese people revere him as an honored ancestor."
"Are we keeping any of the treasure?" asked Gallagher.
Pitt shook his head. "I don't think so. I've been told that President Wallace intends on turning the entire treasure over to the Chinese people after it has gone on exhibit around the United States. Peking Man's bones are already on their way home."
"Just think, Ian," said Katie, gazing fondly at her husband. "It might have been all ours."
Gallagher patted her on one knee and gave a hearty laugh.
"Where would we have put it? We've got enough Chinese junk sitting around the house to start a museum as it is."
Katie rolled her eyes and gave Gallagher a hard slap on the shoulder.
"You big Mick, you love those objects as much as I do."
She turned to Julia.
"You have to excuse Ian. Once a roughneck, always a roughneck." "We really should be moving along," said Julia, reluctant to leave.
Pitt leaned down, picked up the box from the floor, and presented it to Katie. "A gift from the Princess Doan that I thought you should have."
"I hope it's not a piece of the treasure," she said, surprised. "That would be stealing." "Oh, but it belongs to you," Julia assured her.
Katie slowly, somewhat apprehensively, opened the lid on the box.
"I don't understand," she said, bewildered. "It looks like the bones of some kind of animal."
Then she saw the little golden dragon that was attached to a faded red leather collar.
"Ian! Ian!" she cried in sudden comprehension. "Look! They've brought me Fritz!"
"He's come back to his mistress," said Gallagher, his eyes beginning to mist.
Tears instantly formed in Katie's eyes as she came around the table and embraced Pitt.
"Thank you. Thank you. You don't know how much this means to me."
"If he didn't," said Julia, gazing at Pitt tenderly, "he does now."
Gallagher put an arm around his wife's shoulders.
"I'll bury him with the others."
He looked at Pitt and Julia.
"We have a little cemetery that holds the pets we've owned over the years who've died."
As they drove away, Ian, Hong Kong Gallagher, stood next to Katie, who smiled and smiled and smiled as she waved goodbye. Pitt found himself envying the big Irishman. Gallagher had been right. He had found riches without salvaging the Princess Doan's treasure.
"They're a wonderful couple," said Julia, waving back.
"It must be nice to grow old with someone you love." Julia stared at Pitt, her eyes narrowing in wonder.
I didn't know you were a sentimental guy.
I have my dark moments, he answered, smiling. She sat back in the seat and stared out the windshield at the passing trees pensively.
I wish we could keep right on going and not fly back to Washington.
What's to stop us?
Are you mad? I have my job at INS. You have yours at NUMA. Our superiors are waiting for lengthy reports on the treasure recovery and all the other harrowing experiences we've had cutting the flow of illegal immigrants. They'll keep us so busy for the next few weeks, we'll be lucky if we get to see each other for a few hours on Sundays. And Lord only knows what the Justice Department will do to you when they learn you entombed Chin Chang on the wreck of the Princess Do Wan.
Pitt said nothing. He took one hand off the wheel, reached in the inside pocket of his jacket, and passed two envelopes to Julia.
"What's this?" she asked.
"Two airline tickets to Mexico. I forgot to tell you we're not going back to Washington." Her mouth dropped open.
"You get crazier by the minute."
"Sometimes I scare myself." Then he grinned. "Don't worry your little head. I cleared it with both Commissioner Monroe and Admiral Sandecker. We have their blessings for a 10-day vacation. They admitted it was the least they could do. The reports can wait. The federal government isn't going anywhere."
"But I didn't bring any proper clothes."
"I'll buy you an entire new wardrobe."
"But where are we going in Mexico?" she asked, suddenly becoming excited. "What are we going to do?"
"We," he said with emphasis, "are going to lie on the beach at Mazatlan, drink margaritas, and watch the sunset over the Sea of Cortez."
"I think I'm going to love that," she said, nestling against him.
He looked down and smiled. "Somehow I thought you would." This concludes the reading of Flood Tide by Clive Cussler. This book was read by Michael Pritchard. Additional titles by Clive Cussler in the Books on Tape library include Sahara, Inca Gold, and Shockwave. For more information about them, or for help with topics of related interest, please call our customer service department, or check our catalog index to find review material. If you have enjoyed these tapes, you may want to consider buying this audiobook and donating it to your local library so that others in your community can enjoy it too. The donation will qualify as a tax write-off. Books on Tape produces many new unabridged audiobook titles each month. To find out more about them, or to arrange a library donation, or to speed your next title to you without delay, call our customer service department.